Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The children of these ladies are Pradumna, Samba, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmini, Satyabhama, and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by Him in their Swayamvara ceremonies after He defeated many powerful kings headed by Shushupal. And other ladies were also forcibly taken away by Him after He killed Bhaumasura and thousands of His assistants. All these ladies are glorious. Purport. Exceptionally qualified daughters of powerful kings were allowed to make a choice of their own bridegrooms in open competition, and such ceremonies were called Swayamvara, or selection of the bridegroom. Because the Swayamvara was an open competition between the rival and valiant princes, such princes were invited by the father of the princess, and usually they were regular fights between the invited princely order and a sporting spirit. But it so happened that sometimes the belligerent princes were killed in such marriage fighting, and the victorious prince was offered the trophy, princess, for whom so many princes died. Rukmini, the principal queen of Lord Krishna, was the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, who wished that his qualified and beautiful daughter be given away to Lord Krishna. But her eldest brother wanted her to be given away to King Shushupal, who happened to be a cousin of Krishna. So there was open competition, and as usual, Krishna emerged successful. After harassing Shushupal and other princes by his unrivaled prowess, Rukmini had 10 sons like Pradumna. There were other queens also taken away by Lord Krishna in a similar way. Full description of this beautiful Baudi, or Bodhi, of Lord Krishna will be given in the 10th canto. There were 16,108 beautiful girls who were daughters of many kings and were forcibly stolen by Bhaumasura, who kept them captive for his carnal desire. These girls prayed piteously to Lord Krishna for their deliverance, and the merciful Lord, called by their fervent prayer, released them all by fighting and killing Bhaumasura. All these captive princesses were then accepted by the Lord as His wives, although in the estimation of society, they were all fallen girls. The all-powerful Lord Krishna accepted the humble prayers of these girls and married them with the adoration of queens. So although Lord Krishna had 16,108 queens at Dwarka, and each of them he begat 10 children. All these children grew up, and each had as many children as the father. The aggregate of the family numbered in the millions. Big family. I'll read text 30 also. Eta param shritvam apastape shalam nirasta saucham bata sadhu kurvate yasam grihat pushkara lochanapatir nayat va pait yar ritabir ridi sprishan. All these women auspiciously glorify their lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. Their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are purified souls. As soon as the devotees surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord sincerely, the Lord accepts them, and thus the devotees at once become free from all material contamination. Such devotees are above the three modes of material nature. There is no bodily disqualification of a devotee, just as there is no qualitative difference between the Ganges water and the filthy drain water when they are amalgamated. Women, merchants, and laborers are not very intelligent, and thus it is very difficult for them to understand the science of God or to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. They are more materialistic, and less than them are the Kiratis, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pukashas, Abhiryas, Kankas, Yavanas, Kashas, etc. but all of them can be delivered if they are properly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. By engagement in the service of the Lord, the designative disqualifications are removed, and as pure souls they become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. The fallen girls under the clutches of Bhoomasura sincerely pray to Lord Sri Krishna for their deliverance, and their sincerity of purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. The Lord therefore accepted them as his wives, and thus their lives became glorified. Such auspicious glorification was still more glorified when the Lord played with them as the most devoted husband. The Lord used to live with his 16,108 wives constantly. He expanded himself into 16,108 plenary portions, and each and every one of them was the Lord himself without deviation from the original personality. The Shruti Mantra affirms that the Lord can expand himself into many. As husband of so many wives, he pleased them all with presentations, even at costly endeavor. He brought the Parijata plant from the heaven and implanted it at the palace of Satyabhama, one of the principal queens. If therefore anyone desires the Lord to become one's husband, the Lord fulfills such desires in full. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Puristai Bhutte Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Kauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarne Trishtai Subhava Janiter Vipushas Tridoshar Na Prakritam Bhakta Janasya Pashyat Na Bhakritat Na Prakritatvam Iha Bhakta Janasya Pashyat Gangam Basam Nakalubud Budapena Pankar Brahma Javatvam Abhigachati Nira Dharmai. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite the seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It's exactly as the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. So this is the principle of Krishna consciousness, that by associating with Krishna, one attains the same qualities Krishna has. As Krishna says in a different part here, in text number 5, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Shadavan jana haya bhakti adhikari. Oh, that's right. Dikshakali bhaktikari atma samarapana se kali krishna tari kari atma sama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. In other words, as one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself proportionally. Just like as much as one puts the iron into the fire, then the iron becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and then gradually takes on the same qualities that the fire has. Similarly, by service to Krishna, then that service gradually brings one into association with Krishna, and as one associates with Krishna, one takes on the same qualities that Krishna has. Therefore, in the prayer by Lord Brahma, he says, Gyane priyasam udapastanamanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shutigatam tanuvang manovir ye priyasa jita jiptas yasi tais prilokyam. That even while remaining in one's own position, because it is not that Krishna will reveal himself to a person who has material opulence or material education or material beauty or any kind of material qualification. Krishna reveals himself in proportion to the devotee's desire to obtain him. We've heard that story before about the thief who heard that in Vrindavan there was one young boy and his body was covered with jewels and gold. The thief, after hearing this by a Bhagavatam reciter, became very anxious to go and find that boy and steal all his jewels and gold. So he went to Vrindavan, very anxiously looking for Krishna, calling out for Krishna, and then Krishna revealed himself to the thief. So the thief said, "Give me your gold and jewels." But Krishna said, "I can't do that because my mother will become angry. She told me not to give these gold and jewels to any thieves." But the thief was adamant. He kept on demanding the gold and jewels, and Krishna was arguing with him. But he became enchanted by Krishna, and finally he decided, "It's all right, you just keep the gold and jewels." So Krishna said, "No, you can take them. I'll find some more gold and jewels." So although he's a thief, his idea was to find Krishna to steal from him. Still, because of his anxiety to do so, to find Krishna, he came in contact with Krishna, and therefore he became purified. Just like as soon as the iron is in contact with the fire, then it becomes hotter. And eventually it takes on the same qualities as fire. Therefore, yasyat nivutna. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinshena savarganas tatra sumastate sura hara bhaktasya kutamaha guna manorate nasati dhavato vahi. If one is a sincere devotee of Krishna, then gradually one takes on all the good qualities that Krishna has. On the other hand, by practice, just like they have this Amy Vanderbilt or someone, you can practice etiquette, following her, the acharya of etiquette, this Amy Vanderbilt. So you can learn how to pick up your cup and keep your finger up in the air. Pick up your coffee cup and keep your finger up in the air for etiquette. You can know that the fork goes on the left side and the knife and the spoon go on the right. You can learn all these things, but still be an animal. Although everyone will glorify, "Oh, they're very sophisticated, they know all the etiquette." But actually, it is simply the etiquette amongst the beasts. That real etiquette, real civilization begins when one understands how to follow the laws of material nature. If one is not following the laws of material nature, then obviously one is less than an animal. So human life, according to the Chanaka Pandit, matrivat paradareshu paradwareshu lostravat atmavat sarabhuteshu yakpashati sapanditaha. So that's human life, that's civilized life, to see every woman except for one's wife to be just like one's mother, to see other one's property as like garbage in the street, and to see every living entity to be just like one's own self. So this is simply civilization. Of course, this is more or less considered mythological in modern so-called civilization, where people don't see other people's, every other woman except for one's wife is just be like one's mother. Nowadays, people see even their mother to be just like their wife. They see everything as somehow or another an object. Male, female, animal, vegetable, mineral, anything. And people are simply busily engaged trying to steal from each other. No one is respectful of other person's property. As a matter of fact, nowadays, if someone has a nice car, then the kids on the block come by with chalk and razor blades and paint, and they just to destroy it, for the sake of destroying it, to humble this man. They'll just destroy it, but to speak of getting any benefit from it. And as far as every other living entity to be just like one's own self, One simply sees every living entity as an object of exploitation. Whether this person will taste good or not, or whether this living entity will taste good, or what can I get out of them. So this is not civilization, although people may appear to be polished and in so many different ways, have good manners and can speak nicely, have so much education, but factually their mentality is not very spiritual, it's not very pure, it's not even humane. Therefore, although they may apparently be on a higher platform, after some time it's always revealed. Just like they elect the President of the United States, and he's supposed to be the leader. He's the Mahajan of the country. And it turns out that he's less than a dog. Svavidrahastra karar samstuta purusha pashu niyakarna patayo peto jatu nama gadagraja. He's less than a dog. Even the dogs would be embarrassed by his activities. No respectable dog would want to associate with him, have such a master. Embarrassment to the family. And yet, he's probably one of the most popular people in the leading country in the world. So we can understand that they're less than a dog. That at least a dog, they usually keep their family life. They support their family. But in modern society, even that's considered to be unnecessary. Therefore, it's revealed that actually these people are not on a very elevated platform. Although we can see in modern society, because people have a perverted concept of what's good and what's bad, therefore they think that such a person, he's actually noble. They give him all respect. And persons who are saintly, who are God-conscious, they consider to be parasites, members of a dangerous cult. The children have to be warned. Don't associate with them. You'll give up illicit sex and intoxication, meat eating, and fall down. Therefore, as I mentioned one time, that during the Mardi Gras in New Orleans, when they have 2 million people on the street engaging in all sinful activities, to go on the street during Mardi Gras, practically speaking, you have to be intoxicated just to tolerate what's going on. So 2 million people are out for a week, completely intoxicated, committing all kinds of sinful activities, and the devotees had the idea, let's go out and do Harinam and help these people. So they went out and did Harinam. Immediately all the police came with their wagons and machine guns and surrounded the devotees and arrested them. Brought them to the police station, and they appeared before the judge, and they were charged with disturbing the peace. So this is certainly more or less dharmam dharam iti ya manyate tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitam va buddhisaparta tamasi. They think that religion is irreligion, and irreligion they take as religion, and therefore they're always striving in the wrong direction. So this is the result of cultivating the modes of ignorance and passion. But mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. If one engages in unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, which is unfailing and under all circumstances, he once transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So on the Brahman platform, where one is able to realize his relation with Krishna, then there's no question of so-called purity or impurity. One is transcendental to all material concepts. Muktir hitvanyata rupam srupena vyavyastiti. So in real liberation means to give up this bodily concept of life, which is always changing anyhow, and come to the spiritual platform where one is situated in his spiritual identity. So that's possible by utilizing any material situation and utilizing that for Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, there are many examples, or in the Vedic literature, of persons who are not very elevated, but simply by dedicating everything to Krishna, they became the most elevated. Just like we have the example of Kubja. Kubja was a prostitute, not a very respectable business. Of course, nowadays everyone is proud of their occupation. Everyone's thinking they're contributing to society. But Kubja, her business was a prostitute, but she was a hunchback, and she'd deliver sandalwood paste to Kamsa. But one day, somehow or another, Krishna, when he was in Mathura with Baladev and the other cowherd boys, they came across Kubja, and Krishna asked for the sandalwood pulp. So Kubja immediately began to smear it all over Krishna's body and Balaram's body. And then Krishna, in order to reward her, he stepped on her toes, put his hands underneath her chin, and yanked her body straight. He gave her, he was the original chiropractor, the Adi chiropractor. And she became a very young, beautiful girl. But still, she didn't change her occupation. But she wanted to utilize in Krishna's service. So therefore, she started to grab Krishna's dhoti on the street, trying to yank it away. So Krishna said, wait a second. I'm in front of all my cowherd boys. This is a little embarrassing. Why don't you wait a little while? You know, give me your address and I'll call you up later. So Kubja, she was, you know, not a very high class lady. And even after coming in contact with Krishna, apparently, she wasn't a very high class lady. But because she utilized everything in Krishna's service, she became practically completely purified. Similarly, there are so many, and therefore she became eligible to embrace Krishna. Similarly, we have the example of Ho Bata Kala Kuta Stani, that there was one demoness named Putana, and she smeared poison on her breast in order to kill Krishna. Ho Bata Kala Kuta Stani. Kalakuta, very venomous poison she put on her breast, Jigna Surya, and she did it just to kill Krishna. But the most amazing thing is that even after she tried to poison Krishna and Krishna sucked out her milk and her life air, she became one of Krishna's mothers in the spiritual world on the same level as Jasoda. So how wonderful it is that Krishna is so kind that he accepted her trying to kill him, and he reciprocated by killing her. But he also accepted the motherly affection and gave her, ultimately, the same position as Mother Jasoda. So how wonderful is Krishna? Who is more of a wonderful person to take shelter of? That everyone who comes in contact with Krishna, they become benefited to the extent that they become at least liberated. The same position that takes the yogis and the gyanis thousands of years to achieve, and practically always they never achieve it, very rarely is it ever achieved, simply by coming in contact with Krishna, all benefit is there. And so Krishna is so kind, yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, that everyone, as they're surrendering to Krishna, Krishna awards them. So just like the demons, they're always coming to kill Krishna, and Krishna is always reciprocating by killing them. And the demigods are coming and praying for Krishna's benedictions and his protection, so Krishna is always protecting them. So the only difference is between the demons and the devotees, or the demigods, is what they're asking Krishna for. Nigama kalpatura galitam palam, sukamukam amrita dravya samyutam, vibhata bhagavatam amalam, ahur mahur, Rasika Bhuvi Bhavakaha So, Bhagavatam is just like a desire tree. It's the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature because it's non-different from Krishna. And just like Krishna is like a kalpataru, a desire tree, so whatever one wants from Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate. Unfortunately, people don't know the value of relating to Krishna in a positive way, therefore they settle for something insignificant. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was very much anxious to get a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And he underwent great austerities under the direction of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, but because he had approached the right source, therefore all his desires were fulfilled, and ultimately he got the greatest benediction, that is personal darshan with Krishna. And once he got the personal darshan of Krishna, then he thought that all my other benedictions are useless compared to this. So Krishna will not only give one his personal, so many material benedictions if one seeks after them, but ultimately Krishna will try to arrange things in such a way that one will actually get Krishna's personal darshan. So Prabhupada gives his own example that he was trying to become a big businessman, but all his wealth was constantly being taken away. And therefore he realized that actually this is simply Krishna's mercy. Yasya anugrahami karishe harer tadanai. That if Krishna is merciful to a devotee who's striving for something material, which most devotees in the beginning are, till one becomes a very advanced devotee, there's always some material desire. So Krishna arranges things in such a way as that desire becomes purified so that one can actually accept Krishna's lotus feet as the ultimate benediction. So here, these ladies were kidnapped. They were, as it says here, they were not very respectable in the society at that time. But Krishna was very merciful to them. He gave them his personal association. In this way, they became glorious so that even now we're hearing about them. Even Miss America of 1930, whoever she was, no one remembers her anymore. Although she was glorified and respected, people bowed down before her. But now, no one thinks about her. She's still around. Similarly, all these so-called famous personalities in this material world, because they're not really famous, because they don't really have Krishna's association, yatra yogeshwaro krishno, yatra partha dhanora dhara, tatra shir, vijayo nitir, dhruva nitir matira mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, morality, power, and so forth, opulence and so forth. So, real fame comes from becoming a devotee of Krishna. This is what Ramananda Roy told Lord Chaitanya, that real fame means to be a devotee of Krishna. So real morality means to be Krishna's devotee. All these things all come from becoming Krishna's devotee. So those who have contact with Krishna, they get real fame. Even the demons, even we're hearing about Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, because somehow or another they're related to Krishna. If they weren't related to Krishna, they wouldn't be glorified. His devotee, all these things all come from becoming Krishna's devotee. So those who have contact with Krishna, they get real fame. Even the demons, even we're hearing about Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, because somehow or another they're related to Krishna. If they weren't related to Krishna, they wouldn't be glorified. Just like Jarasandha, when Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna approached him for a duel, then Krishna told Jarasandha, and my dear sir, that you should fight with us because this will win you immortal fame. And he gave the example of King Sibi, who had sacrificed his own flesh for the sake of a pigeon, or the Ranti Dev, who gave away his own food. But if you fight with us, you'll get permanent fame, and that's better than this trying to serve this temporary body. You might as well serve your eternal fame. And indeed, because he fought with Bhima and was ultimately killed by Bhima as Krishna's instrument, we still glorify him. Perhaps we're not trying to follow his footsteps, but at least we hear about him. because he has some connection with Krishna. So what to speak of those who have a positive connection with Krishna, although apparently they're were not very respectable in society. Just like the gopis, they left their husbands and families and fathers, and they ran after Krishna. But according to Lord Chaitanya, Ramna Kinchit Rajavadu Varakena Valkalpitaha, there is no better method of worshipping Krishna than to follow in this mood, that it doesn't matter what is our position, let us surrender everything to Krishna, and this way everything will become perfect, whoever we are. Even that story of that man who ate some prasadam, and then he's in the jungle and the tiger came and ate him, and then someone killed the tiger, but because the tiger ate someone who ate prasadam, the tiger went back to Godhead. So Krishna consciousness is so auspicious. Although we shouldn't follow it, you know. That's just an example. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much. We should just eat prasadam, though. Don't eat tigers. Maha, maha prasad. Anything? Any questions? Yes.
I was reading in the Krishna Gosham that the wives of Krishna were saying prayers and they were feeling so much separation from Krishna. So this purpose is that Krishna never left them.
Well, there's... He did, I mean, he practically never left them. But the queens were always feeling separation. Even there's this type of separation. When Radha and Krishna are together, sometimes they feel separation from each other, even when they're personally associated. So one time, there was some bee, and flying around, and it's the name of the Brahmin boy, who's Madhu Mangal. He chased the bee away, and he said, "Madhu is gone, Madhu is gone." So Radharani was right next to Krishna, but she thought that Madhusudana had left. So she began to feel great separation from Krishna. So even sometimes when they associate together, they feel separation. But they're not really separated. But we're actually separated and we don't feel any separation. Yes.
Well, she was speaking about service, the Kutana merit, and actually it was an enmity, but still she was rewarded mothership. She became the mother of Krishna. Sometimes we are a little morose about the way we render service. We're thinking it's lacking so much, and can you maybe elaborate on that point?
Well, of course, she was unique. In her previous life, she was, I think, the sister of Bali. So when Vamanadeva walked into the arena, she felt, as a little dwarf boy, she felt great motherly affection for him and wanted to become his mother. But then when he took all the property of Bali, she became very envious and wanted to kill him. So she had both mentalities. So she became Putana and got the opportunity to try and kill Krishna, at the same time give him some motherly affection. So we may not have had the same karma as she did. But we should try to do service in a positive way. Otherwise we won't get the full benefit. Because ultimately it's the bhakti that we put into the service that Krishna accepts. It's the mood. Of course it has to be the right service, the right activity. But ultimately it's the mood that's the difference. Without a change of mood, there's no real change in consciousness. Yes.
Also something to do with the enhanced
obviously her intense. Yeah, if you had the whole universe and someone took it away from you, you'd probably get a little intense. Besides that, Krishna is pretty intense himself. People see Krishna, it's an intense emotion. Kamsa felt great intensity too. Krishna's not an ordinary person. It's not like Krishna walks down the street and no one notices him. Hey, wait a second, I'm God. Everyone's ignoring me. Do you know who I am? No, who are you? You look like a coward boy to me. No, Krishna is quite intense. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, even the grass, the birds, the bees, everyone became attracted to Krishna. So even the demons become attracted. Just like when Krishna dove into the water to fight against Kaliya, the first thing Kaliya thought was that this boy is quite beautiful. Then he thought about killing him afterwards, but he was quite attracted to him. So, and so everyone who associates with Krishna, it's a very intense experience. Either you're intensely for him or intensely against him. No one ignores him, though. Yeah.
In relation to this standards you were talking about, in relation to Mataji and these things, in the Vedic culture, things are very strict, and like the Brahmachari, he only sees the feet of the Mataji. But in our, how do we come to these things, and even in our society, how do we come to standards?
Gradually. Nowadays, if you can discriminate between a man and a woman, you're doing pretty good. Yes.
In the case of Kutana, it seems like Krishna took the positive side. He just sort of split the
circle. Not having to kill her. I mean, it wasn't all bad.
But I think that if we just do a little service for Krishna, if Krishna is pleased and satisfied, then ultimately we attain all perfection.
Well, Krishna is not pleased by little service. You have to do a lot of service. Krishna, it says that Krishna is not so much interested in what we've given him. He's always looking to figure out what we haven't given him. Just like with Sudama, he was hiding the chip rice and then Krishna snatched it away. So we may render some service. Krishna may smile a little bit, but he's actually thinking about what more he can get out of us. Yes.
Sometimes in the name of being devotees, we sometimes do things that are not very proper.
So well, that's nice. Have you ever gotten away with it?
That's what I see.
Well, Krishna is pretty tricky.
Even moral things, like, you know, we think we can do anything because we're devotees.
Yeah, we think like that. It doesn't work, though. I mean, usually it doesn't work. Prabhupada gave the example of catching the big fish and not getting wet. If we actually do something sincerely for Krishna, then we might be able to get away with it, if it's really for Krishna. Just like Ramanujacharya, he had some devotees. One of them was, they were all thieves. One of them had mist, they all had mystic power. One of them became invisible, the other one could walk on water, the other one could open any lock. So they're all engaged in stealing, so they could, I think it wasn't Ramana, it was Damunacharya, I think. And they all collected money from all the rich people who wouldn't give anything to Krishna. And they built Sri Rangam, they built, you know, the temple for Krishna. So, but we shouldn't, we're not so expert. If we had mystic power like that, we could try, but... So we can see generally the devotees try and get away with things and due to their inexpertise, they generally don't get away with it. Of course, you know, stealing a little maha or something like that, even if you get caught, it's not a big thing. But besides that, we should be careful. And even if you steal maha, you better be careful too. Yes.
When we see the deities, can we experience this like the same kind of intensity of many kinds? It doesn't.
If we were surrendered to the deities, then we've experienced the same thing as if we were personally associating with Krishna. Depends what our mood is. Krishna responds according to our mood. If we think they're a stone statue, then that's what they'll look like, is a stone statue. And if we think here is Nanda Maharaj, the son of Nanda Maharaj, just like the Brahmin who went to Shakshi Gopal and told Gopal that you had to come as a witness. And Gopal said, how can I come as a witness? Deities can't walk. So the Brahmin said, no, if you can talk, you can also walk. So the deity thought, well, this makes sense. And therefore he followed the Brahmin back to Vrindavan. Or maybe it was Vidyanagara. So Krishna will respond according to our actual Krishna consciousness.
Well, as you were speaking, it's Krishna is so intense. Sometimes we experience that practice of Krishna consciousness is so intense that sometimes even the person leaves because of this.
Many people don't leave because Krishna consciousness is intense. You know someone who left because there was too much in ecstasy, they couldn't take it anymore?
We are not on that level. Sometimes we're speaking about finding the right balance. So what is your advice on finding the right balance?
Balance between what?
Between the level where we are on, and sometimes we cannot. Yes, then the service it's too much for us. And
well, we should chant our rounds nicely. Service is not very difficult. It's being in Maya that's difficult. Being in Krishna consciousness means everything is very easy. But because sometimes we're not willing to give up our material desires, therefore it seems that Krishna consciousness is difficult. But actually it's not the Krishna consciousness that's difficult, it's our unwillingness to give up our material attachments that's difficult. So the balance is to give up the material attachments. Then everything will become easy. Because it says, yad taragre vishamiva parinamim ritopamam tat sukham satyukam prodam atma buddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So tapasya is sometimes a little bitter. One has to learn tolerance. But if one is able to understand by hearing nicely, by proper hearing, the value of the tapasya, and can look forward to the reward, namely Krishna consciousness, then he can tolerate even the inconveniences. And then Krishna will reciprocate if one is sincere, and then one can, it says, enjoy life as if tasting nectar. So one has to be intelligent enough to willingly undergo the tapasya that's necessary to become purified and to come to the spiritual platform. So the most important thing is to hear in such a way as that one becomes enthusiastic to perform some kind of austerity for Krishna, some kind of sacrifice. Then if one has the right mentality and does the right service, then the result is that Krishna will become pleased, and then he'll gradually help elevate us in Krishna consciousness. So that which in the beginning appear a little bitter, at the end will seem just like nectar. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.